Welcome back to the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians get out of Boston, taking 3 out of 4 at Fenway Park. First time in almost 25 years they've won 3 games in a trip to Fenway. Carlos Carrasco comes up with his first win for Cleveland since September of 2020, his first victory of the season. The Guardians did it with some 2-out clutch hits and then basically hanging on for dear life in a rainstorm at the end.
Joe, I love the way Carrasco bounced back after that first inning. What, he throws 29 pitches in the first inning, faces 7 guys, gives up 1 run, leaves the bases loaded. And then really kind of pitched well, I thought. He, you know, his velo looked like it picked up. His breaking ball was good. And he gets into the sixth inning. So that was encouraging.
Yeah, he said afterwards that he went after that first inning. He went back to what was working for him in the bullpen during warmups. He said he just wanted to attack hitters. And you could tell this is a Boston lineup that you could attack, that you could go after. And he did that, and his stuff played well. And it got him basically one out shy of completing 6 innings. Cade Smith comes in after a 2-out single by Reese McGuire and a base hit and a triple later, and it's everything's starting to tighten up on these guys. And then Cade Smith balks in a run for the second time in 2 games in Boston. What's going on with the balks here, Hoynesy?
Yeah, Joe. Well, you know, the one against Lively, we still don't really know what happened. That's in the UFO files. You know, we probably won't find out about that for 50 years till they unseal it. But the one against Cade Smith, he caught his cleat and, you know, just kind of stumbled it during his motion. So that, you know, that was pretty easy to see. But the lively block is still under investigation by the FBI. My sources are telling me.
Yeah, the explanation that Stephen Vogt got was about having to declare whether you were going to go from the windup or not, and you know whether Lively did that or he didn't. You know, that's who knows. But ultimately that didn't matter because Tanner Houck was so good on Wednesday night that it really didn't matter. But Cade Smith gives up his first runs in his rookie season on that Jaron Duran triple. You can't hit a ball any better at Fenway Park than the way Jaron Duran hit that. He hit it right to the point in the triangle, 420 feet away from home plate, and it got there in a hurry.
You're not kidding, and that guy can run, man. He was flying around the bases, just a good piece of hitting. And, you know, I think, Cade – you know, you like Cade Smith, but if he's just going to throw heat all the time, Joe, he's going to get hit like that sometimes.
Yeah, and to this point, it hasn't hurt him. It hasn't caught up to him. But, again, it's a young, inexperienced, in a lot of ways, bullpen, and they're going to have stumbles there. You hope that they don't give up 4-run leads, and in this case, they didn't. They held on. Emmanuel Clase came in after Tim Herron and Hunter Gaddis pitched the 7th and 8th innings and were excellent. Herron, 2 strikeouts, Gaddis with a punch out, and then Class A came in and 1-2-3. He had his 5th save of the year.
Yeah, it was really encouraging to see those 3 guys at the tail end of the pen, especially Class A, Joe. He had failed to convert his last 2 save opportunities, and he was not messing around yesterday. He just came in there and blew Boston away. That was good to see. I mean, a good catch right by Rafaela. Is that how you say the kid's name?
Rafaela, yeah.
Rafaela, you know, lined out to a right field. Laureano made a nice running catch, and that seemed to settle him down. Class A, I'm referring to, and he got the next 2 guys. That was, I think, that was a big step for him.
Yeah, second best road record in baseball right now behind Milwaukee. The Guardians are 10-3, best in the AL on the road away from home. That's how they have built this lead in the division is by winning those road games and basically winning the games that they're supposed to win at this point. Boston, not a team, especially with Tyler O'Neill out with a concussion. You know, this is a team that didn't have a lot of pop. You probably should have won all those games in Boston, except for, you know, running into the buzzsaw again on Wednesday with Tanner Houck. But you're getting contributions, at least in the last four games, up and down the lineup, from the top of the lineup to the bottom. Everybody's connected and contributing. Gabriel Arias is swinging a hot bat right now for Stephen Vogt, and it's Vogt's job to make sure he tries to keep him in the lineup.
Yeah, he started at third base yesterday. He was in center field the night before. I mean, Joe, this guy, they're just going to play him anywhere, I guess, as long as he keeps hitting. So I don't know if he can catch, but we might see him behind a plate one of these nights.
Well, I mean, he's got a pretty powerful arm, and you don't know if he's the pitching type, but I would be interested to see if he could play all nine positions at one point during the season. There's no way, but they've got enough catchers in that dugout to not have to put him on the plate. I don't think I think it'd be more interesting if you put him on the mound as a position player pitching to see just how his arm would play. But you're right. This is a guy. He's basically a freak athlete, and they need to keep him out there. Batting 400 over his last five games with a 750 slugging percentage, an 1179 OPS, eight hits in his last 20 at bats, a home run, four RBIs, two doubles for Gabriel Arias. Just all around a good series, and coming off a pretty solid weekend against the Yankees before that. So look to see if he's back in there at some point against the A's this weekend. One guy who got a day off for Cleveland yesterday, his first day off, actually. You went, 18 straight games with Stephen Kwan at the top of your lineup, and Kwan got the day off. Stephen Vogt said he wanted him to just reset, unplug, you know, just sort of get everything out of his mind and sit out. I mean, the guy's hitting out of his mind. He's how many three hit games, you know, it's been a really fun first 18 games of the season for Stephen Kwan. Just what you think about giving him a day off of his feet there the last game in Boston?
Yeah, I thought it was a good move. You know, like you said, Joe, he's played 18 games. He's hitting 354, 29 for 82, two doubles, two home runs, five RBIs. He scored 18 runs. You know, he's played great in left field. So he deserved a day off. And it's, you know, and it doesn't hurt you much when you can put Andrés Giménez up there in the leadoff spot. And he gets he gets two hits and drives in two runs. So, you know, that's a good way to, that's a good combination if you want to give Kwan a day off.
Yeah, well, after the game, Stephen Vogt was asked about Andrés Giménez being adaptable, you know, finding success anywhere you put him in the lineup. And Vogt basically said, hey, he's our Swiss Army knife. He's the guy who can get hits anywhere in the lineup. You bat him second, or you bat him a little lower down the lineup when there's a lefty on the mound. And, you know, if he needs to move into the leadoff spot, he's a guy who can get you some bases as well. The first, two out RBI single that he had in the game yesterday, tried to stretch it into a double, probably not the best idea. It was, you know, everybody's holding their breath as he goes in head first with that throw coming in from left field, and a bit of a collision there, but he seemed to be no worse for the wear.
Yeah, he he has some Josh Naylor in him, Joe. You know, those two.
A little bit, a little reckless.
You just never know what they're going to do on the bases. And even at the plate, you know, Giménez will drop down a bunt when you least expect it. And I don't know. I would imagine they don't expect that in the Cleveland's dugout either. So, you know, they're kind of exciting guys to watch.
Well, and I don't even know if you very much appreciate it, you know, him doing that. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's, you know what, he's batting 500 with runners in scoring position, and there's guys on base, and he's looking to square up and bunt. I don't know if you necessarily want to see that if you're Stephen Vogt or Craig Albernez in the Guardians dugout, but you can't argue with the results, and you can't argue with the defense that he plays. Again, yesterday we saw a couple examples of it. And he did commit an error, though, and a couple of people in the Boston press box were kind of looking around after he committed, you know, a pretty routine ground ball error, and they said, "Oh, this is the guy who won the Platinum Glove," and I'm like, I kind of had to, you know, stick up for him and defend him. I'm like, "Yeah, but he saves you way more runs than, you know, a simple error like that where the next guy grounded out anyways." It's still really interesting to see how underappreciated he still is, even though he's a Platinum Glove winner.
Yeah, he's, you know, it was such a miserable day too, Joe. I felt bad for you guys. I mean, that was, it looked like September, you know, not April, the middle of April. Well, I mean, it 47 degrees. It was raining. You know, the Red Sox kicked the ball around for all four games. I don't know how many errors they made, but that's not a very good defensive team.
They are the worst defensive team in baseball, and probably one of the worst defensive teams I've seen in a while. I remember a couple of game stretch where we saw the White Sox with Tim Anderson last season kicking the ball around, and I thought that was the worst defense I've ever seen. This was right up there. This was pretty bad just the last couple of days in Boston. But yeah, I felt like I got the full Boston experience getting out of there on Thursday. 47 degrees and raining in April, as opposed to when I arrived on Monday and it was sunny and 60, and I thought, this is not how Boston's supposed to be in April. I was a little surprised, and the weather was great the first 3 days, and then everything, you know, sort of went in the trash can on Thursday.
Yeah, it's I was there once for a hurricane. And the hurricane kept coming over the ballpark. It kept circling. The storm kept circling back over Fenway Park. They didn't end the game till about 2 a.m. It was crazy.
You were there for a hurricane. They sold you seats and popcorn and everything, weren't you? I went to Boston for a hurricane. Oh, great.
I think it was Hurricane Bob. I don't know what year that was, but I kind of remember that.
Hurricane Hoynsey in the press box. I love it. All right, let's turn our attention to this series against the A's. The A's, since we last saw them, are playing much better. Do you think it has anything to do with resolving the issues about next year? After Cleveland left, they announced that they're going to play in Sacramento until what, 2027, I believe, with an option for 2028. If their park's not ready in Las Vegas. But, you know, that means that's at least a worry that's not, you know, in the back of their heads. They're not thinking about that. The team can focus a little bit more. And what, they're 6-10 since Cleveland saw them last?
Yeah, they've won 6 of the last 10 games, Joe. They are, and you're right, they are playing a little better on the road than at home. They're 4-9 at the Coliseum and 4-2 on the road. I think they're like, since Cleveland left, you know, Cleveland took three of the season opening four game series from Oakland. They are 7-8 since, so they're playing a little better. I think, you know, they've kind of taken that us against the world, you know, kind of attitude that, you know, that, you know, if no one, you just, you know, you just got to play, you know, it doesn't matter where you are, where, what city you're playing in, just play as well as you can. And I think that attitude is starting to work for them. So I don't think Cleveland should not take, you know, kind of, you know, look past the A's. This could be an interesting weekend series.
Yeah, and they're probably just young enough to you know, not know what they don't know and go out there and you know, if they're finding success since then, you know, there might be some guys that could hurt you and do some damage. The first guy tasked with dealing with these guys is going to be Tristan McKenzie. He did not face Oakland in that opening series to start the season. He was you know, his first start came in Seattle. So the A's haven't seen McKenzie, and to be honest, McKenzie's you know, it's been a struggle so far early in the year. Reports by The Athletic this week indicate that, you know, he's admitting that he's pitching with a torn ligament in his elbow. He's trying to avoid surgery and trying to pitch through that, but So far, the fastball command hasn't been there. The velocity obviously isn't going to be there. And his game right now is dependent on, pitching through batters instead of just blowing them away with stuff.
Yeah, Joe, it's, his line, this is in 13 innings over three starts. He's given up 9 earned runs, 11 hits. But here are the two stats that really jump out at you. 12 walks, 5 strikeouts. In his last start against the Yankees, last time out, he went 4 innings, walked 6, struck out 1. And that's not the Tristan McKenzie that, we have come to know when he's healthy. We didn't see that version of Tristan last season much. He only made 4 starts. But, the year before in 2022, his last full season, this is a guy that strikes people out, got control of his, the strike zone. And we just haven't seen that guy. And, Joe, he's still not giving up a lot of hits. The batting average against is only .220.
Yeah, but you go back to he did leave a ball belt high over the middle of the plate to Juan Soto that I think still hasn't landed the last time he faced the Yankees in his last start. So you just gotta these command issues. This is part of sort of pitching through this injury if he's going to do that. How long do you go with a guy if he's not going to be successful in this regard and basically have to have a meeting with him and say, hey, look, I know you can pitch like this, but really, should you pitch like this?
Yeah, Joe, it seems like what is velo right now on the fastball is 90.9 miles an hour. That's a drop from his last healthy season, 2022. The velo was 92.5. We talked about this last year with Bieber, and the same thing is happening here with Tristan McKenzie. So, I think I don't know if they're just waiting until push comes to shove here and they've got to make a decision. It seems like it's getting pretty close here, Joe. If McKenzie doesn't turn the corner here in the next 2 or 3 starts, I think you have to start looking at options, and you've got options in Ben Lively and Xavion Curry.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing is this past series in Boston sort of showed both Curry and Lively came out and gave you, 5 innings in their first starts of the season. Curry only allowing, 2 hits and, 5 shutout innings looked as good as we've ever seen Xavion Curry. Ben Lively, we hadn't seen much of him, and for him to go out there and strike out 7 and just the attitude and the approach, I mean, he went through Boston like a buzzsaw, and if it wasn't for the fact that Tanner Houck was spinning a Maddox on the other side, Ben Lively might have been in line for a win, but in some other cases, I don't know. I don't have the answers in terms of Tristan's elbow. I know that the Guardians clubhouse and that team is a better team with him around, and when he's contributing, they're even better. But I think if Tristan had had the surgery when this injury first popped up, we'd be talking about he's only 3 or 4 months away at this point instead of you're facing a year plus of recovery time. Moving forward now instead, whenever, the inevitable, I think it just feels like this is heading down that road.
Yeah, well, you can't make a guy have surgery. I mean, if No. he wants to rehab, you got to give him a chance, and that's what Cleveland is doing. He's doing it on the biggest stage in baseball, too. So every time he goes out there, so it's a tough situation. And, hopefully for Tristan's sake, he turns a corner here.
Well, and how much of it is, the Guardians were probably willing to let Tristan go out there and pitch through this as much as he could at the start of the season? Because I don't think the expectations were that they were going to start, as hot as they were and come out the gate at 13-6 and be atop the division. I don't think anybody anticipated that. But, if they keep winning, how much longer can it actually has to shrink the window with McKenzie, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would think that's definitely a consideration. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly what their plan is. I just remember what Chris Antonetti said, you know, when he came back last season, at the end of last season, McKenzie I'm talking about, and he said, you know, we're going to see how he handles the stress of big league games. And I guess they're still under the evaluation process.
Well, first step here tonight, then see how he comes out against a team where he should be able to have some success, depending on how he's feeling. The weather conditions aren't going to be, you know, outstanding. Cold and damp a little bit, probably around game time. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. Hoynesy, that's all I got for today's podcast. We will check back in with you again next week. We have an off day on Monday, so we'll talk to you then.
Good deal, Joe.